Chapter 22. It was a nice restaurant, the kind Issei didn't really get to eat in anymore. Sakura dragged him out for dinner whenever she could get away with it, but Issei stubbornly limited it to special occasions like birthdays or the end of exams. He already owed her and her family so much, he didn't want to take any more charity from them. It wasn't Sakura who was with him tonight, though. He gazed across the table, still unable to really believe he was here, living out one of his fondest fantasies. Well, the G-rated ones, at least. He blushed, ducking his head in what had become an automatic reaction to hide his flush behind his hair. Today his hair was up, though, pulled back in a complicated arrangement of loops and whirls. He'd been a bit nervous about having it all off his face, worrying that it might remind his date of who, and more importantly, what, he really was. But he had to admit the image in the mirror had looked breathtaking when Sakura was done with him. Across from him, Jinpachi raised an eyebrow. "You're blushing again," he noted, with a hint of amusement in his voice. "You never used to do that around me." "Well, not this much," he amended, when Issei gave him a disbelieving look. Issei had to laugh. "I just can't believe this is really happening," he admitted. Nervously, he reached out to pick up his wine glass, taking a small sip to help clear the dryness in his throat. He was very tempted to drink more than that, but the last thing he wanted was for the magic of this dream come true to be lost in the haze of alcohol. "You and me both," Jinpachi said, his grin turning a bit crooked. "It's kind of unreal. You look really great tonight," he added abruptly, with a faint flush of his own as he looked away. "I don't know if I mentioned it earlier." "Thank you," Issei replied softly, thrilled. He could sense that his old friend was still feeling a bit conflicted about everything. He was picking up a general sense of nerves and an odd feeling at complimenting his male best friend for how he looked in a skirt and makeup. "Jinpachi, stop worrying," he said, guessing at part of the source of the redhead's stress. "In the 2 years since I started this, nobody but you has ever realized the truth. And even you took weeks, despite having known me so well before." The flush on Jinpachi's cheeks increased, and he laughed ruefully. "Am I that obvious? Sorry, Isako. I keep thinking they're going to come throw us out for being..." He made a gesture, low enough to the table that only Issei would see it, and the empath stifled a laugh as he recognized it as a sign that you thought someone was that way. "It's not that obvious to anyone but me," he assured the other boy. "And not just because I know you so well. Because really, I don't. Not anymore. We've both changed a lot since we parted in high school." "I guess I really ought to know better than to try to hide anything emotional from you, shouldn't I?" Jinpachi sighed. "I want to get to know you that well again, damn it. That's the whole point of this, isn't it? But I'm probably ruining it for you, being so nervous." "Not at all," Issei broke in, wide-eyed. "Jinpachi, believe me, I'm as nervous as you are. I mean, I suppose a certain amount of nerves is natural for a couple on the first date. But this..." He gestured to encompass both of them, and somehow made the gesture include the weight of history that lay between them as well. "This is huge! For both of us!" His voice softened. "Neither of us wants to screw this up, that's all." "And we won't," Jinpachi concluded firmly, looking back and catching Issei's eyes with his determined gaze. "Not this time. I'm not going through another lifetime of this, damn it. We're going to get it right this time if it kills us." Laughing again, Issei reached out over the snowy white linen of the tablecloth, and Jinpachi caught his hand. In an odd way, the caress was a reminder of what stood between them. Issei's hands were delicate for a boy's, delicate enough to pass for a girl's, but Jinpachi's hand didn't dwarf his as he would have most girls'. The comparison didn't seem to bother the redhead, however, as he gently stroked the back of Issei's hand with his thumb. Issei shivered, both at the caress and the fact that the skin contact let him feel some of the desire Jinpachi was feeling. Desire for the apparent woman he saw, true, but deep under that was still the knowledge that Issei wasn't what he seemed. "It's a wonderful dinner," Issei said, more to break the intense silence that had fallen between them than anything else. "I hope I'm not breaking your pocketbook, though."
"Hardly," Jinpachi laughed. "As long as I keep my grades up at an acceptable level, my dad gives me spending money, as well as living money. I wouldn't want to do this every night, but..."
His voice lowered in such a way that made Issei shiver.
"I wanted to do this right. I wanted it to be special."
"It is," Issei told him, an ache of unfulfilled dreams echoing in his voice. "Oh, believe me, it is. How could it be anything else?" He smiled into the eyes of the only man he would truly ever love. "You're here with me."
"And you are going to drown me in sugar if you keep that up," Jinpachi commented as he caressed Issei's hand one last time and pulled away slightly. Issei couldn't help but snicker.
"Honestly, Jinpachi, why must you be such a boy?" he teased gently, paraphrasing the words his friend had tossed in his face at Sakura's house. Truly, it only confirmed to him that he'd made the right choice with his lifestyle, Issei reflected. He'd never understand why most males seem to avoid emotional discussions like the plague. How did they ever get anything sorted out?
"Well, one of us has to be," Jinpachi muttered in embarrassment, making Issei laugh again. "Not to rush you, but are you almost done? I wanted to treat you to dessert. I know you're sweet tooth, but if we don't leave soon, we'll be late for the show."
Issei glanced down at the remains of the rich dinner he'd consumed and shook his head. "I don't think I could eat another bite, no matter how tempting the dessert," he admitted. "I'll just have to hold you to it for another day, I suppose. We can go now, if you'd like." Nodding, Jinpachi signaled a nearby waiter, who shortly brought over their bill. Issei felt slightly guilty making his date pay for everything, despite Jinpachi's earlier assurances. But it wasn't like he could afford it, even if he wanted to pay for his half. And he sensed that, in his own way, Jinpachi was trying hard to make up for his past insensitivity by making things as perfect for Issei as he could. Although, there were a few more modern traditions that he'd have liked not to pass up. "You know," he said as Jinpachi helped him into his light jacket, "in this enlightened day and age, it's generally considered polite for the boy to at least consult his date about what movie to see." His voice made it clear he was more amused than annoyed, however.
"Hey, I've always maintained that if the boy is paying for everything, he has the right not to end up suffering through a chick flick," Jinpachi protested, taking his hand as he led the way to the outside doors. "Which, in my experience at least, is inevitably the result if the girl gets any input." As Issei chuckled at the truth of that, he added softly, "Anyway, I wanted to surprise you."
"I know everything that's playing in theaters right now, Jinpachi," Issei reminded him as they stepped into the brisk night air. It was still early enough in the year that, though the days were warm, once the sun went down, there was a bite in the air. Without prompting, Jinpachi draped his arm around Issei's waist and pulled the smaller boy in close to him, offering his own body warmth. Issei basked in the contact and the resulting stronger connection between them. "Since you've ruled out chick flicks, and you know I can't stand the audience reactions to violent or horror movies, that doesn't leave much in the way of possibilities."
Jinpachi just smiled at him in a slightly superior way, and Issei got the distinct sense that his date was hiding something and feeling rather smug about it. He raised an eyebrow. "All right, what have you got up your sleeve?" he asked, long familiarity with Jinpachi's sense of humor making him faintly apprehensive. He stretched out along their connection, trying to pick up more details, but to his surprise, Jinpachi was blocking him. "You're not the only one who's learned a bit more about Esper abilities," Jinpachi told him when he saw Issei's startled look. "You're primarily an empath, after all. I can block you from my thoughts if I'm really trying, though I admit I can't keep it up for long. But it'll be long enough."
"I'm not sure whether to be impressed or just nervous," Issei murmured, smiling to take the bite out of his words.
Jinpachi startled him by leaning down to kiss him briefly. There wasn't even enough contact to smudge what remained of Issei's lipstick after eating, but that he'd done it out in plain sight on a public street thrilled Issei.
"It's nothing you'll hate, I promise," Jinpachi swore, turning to flag down one of the taxis that passed by the restaurant every so often. "At least, I certainly hope not."
Now thoroughly curious, Issei allowed himself to be helped into the cab. Jinpachi slid in next to him, closer than was strictly necessary in the roomy back seat, but Issei wasn't complaining. He was again surprised when, instead of giving verbal instructions, Jinpachi leaned forward to hand a slip of paper to the driver. The man took it, glanced at it, then nodded and put the car in drive again.
"Where are we going?" Issei asked, now wide-eyed at how far Jinpachi was going to keep him from finding out. "Why all the secrecy?"
"You'll see," was all his date would say, and Jinpachi was clearly enjoying being able to keep a secret. Issei sat there with his hand in Jinpachi's, watching out the windows in a futile attempt to figure it out. The area the restaurant was in was one he wasn't familiar with, and the cab headed further away from the school rather than back towards it as he'd expected.
"Close your eyes," Jinpachi instructed, leaning in to whisper the words directly into Issei's ear.
That earned him a slightly nervous look, and he laughed.
"What, don't you trust me?"
Issei might not have been able to read Jinpachi's actual thoughts, but no amount of shielding could stop him from picking up the faint hurt that was present behind the redhead's easy laughter. Obediently, he closed his eyes, sensing the hurt turn into a pleased anticipation. He shivered as Jinpachi took the opportunity to trace his lips over the shell of Issei's ear.
"Not fair," he complained softly, but the breathiness in his voice betrayed him.
Nevertheless, Jinpachi pulled back, much to Issei's disappointment. The rest of the short ride passed in silence, and Issei resisted the temptation to peek by stealing glimpses of where they were through the minds of those around them. Finally, the car came to a stop.
"Keep them closed," Jinpachi ordered, as he carefully helped Issei from the car.
Issei stumbled a bit when one of his low heels caught the curb, but Jinpachi caught him securely and lifted him clear. He heard the car leave, and his date took him by one shoulder and gently guided him to turn. Issei had raised his hand to his face to avoid inadvertently opening his eyes, and Jinpachi tugged on his elbow.
"Okay, you can look now."
Totally bewildered at this point, expecting perhaps to see a really nice movie theater of some kind, Issei gasped when he saw they were in front of a concert hall. He turned to Jinpachi with huge eyes and an utterly confused expression, unable to find his voice. The redhead laughed and grinned at him.
"Told you it was a surprise," he said, taking his hand and tugging him forward. "See, I'm not always such a boy."
He imitated Issei's earlier tone perfectly.
"I know you like music and stuff like that, so..."
Issei cut him off by turning and flinging himself into the taller boy's arms, kissing him hard.
He felt waves of astonishment and disapproval from the many people entering the hall around them. But for once, he totally ignored what anyone else thought of his actions. "Thank you," he whispered when he pulled away. "It's an amazing surprise. Though I certainly hope you don't feel you have to try this hard for all our dates, or you won't be able to afford to take me out very often."
"No, just this time," Jinpachi admitted, a little bemused but perfectly willing to hold Issei in return. "I told you, I want this to be special."
"It is," Issei assured him, gray eyes sparkling. "It really, really is. Come on, hurry, I don't want to miss anything." Somehow, he wasn't even surprised when their tickets turned out to be for a private box. It was the smallest and most distant from the stage, true, but it was still a box of their own. At this point, the whole thing felt like a dream, so of course every detail was perfect. Issei just hoped with all his heart that he would never wake up. The music featured a relatively famous flautist from Europe who was doing a tour of Asia, accompanied by the local orchestra. It was pure magic, and Issei sat enraptured all through the first half, on the edge of his seat and unable to tear his eyes from the stage. The intermission seemed hardly more than 10 minutes after it had started, and his chest ached as if he hadn't taken a breath through the whole thing. For him, music of this quality, and with this receptive an audience, was far more than just an auditory experience. The emotions raised in the people around him by the masterful interpretation of equally masterful music were like a highly intoxicating wind blowing around and through him. He was swept up in it, his own emotions drowning in the rising gale. He turned to share his excitement with Jinpachi, and burst out laughing instead, as he saw his date was hardly even paying attention to the stage. He'd been so caught up in the music and the response of the audience that he hadn't even sensed how bored Jinpachi was. His laughter startled the other boy and earned him a sheepish look. "I always knew your fascination with Mokuren's singing had nothing to do with her musical ability," he teased, and was gratified when Jinpachi flushed. "I'm sorry you're so bored, though."
"It's okay," Jinpachi said, reaching out to take his hand again. "I was watching you. That's a hell of a lot more entertaining than what's on stage."
Now it was Issei's turn to blush, and he decided it was time to put the first part of his plan into effect. He leaned forward until his lips were just brushing against Jinpachi's and whispered, "This means a lot to me. That you do this for me. Thank you." Then he kissed him, deeply and passionately, much like they'd kissed that night on the dance floor. This time, there was nobody who could see them to disapprove. And really, a certain amount of this sort of thing was probably expected from couples in the private boxes, he thought in amusement. Jinpachi didn't hesitate to respond, his strong hand coming up to cup the back of Issei's neck and pull him closer. Issei allowed it, shifting the rest of his body closer as well so he could rub gently against the redhead. At the same time, he opened the channel between them, letting Jinpachi share his thrill and wonder at the music, as well as his building desire.
"Damn, that's addictive," Jinpachi murmured,
pulling away briefly to let him look at Issei with bright eyes. But Issei hushed him by kissing him again, putting his heart and soul into it. He'd spent days thinking about this since they'd kissed at the fountain, and he'd finally decided that the best way to get Jinpachi over his deeply ingrained homophobia was to work the other boy up to the point where he didn't care what sex his partner was. Not all at once, but slowly, over many encounters, by teasing him and drawing it out, and then refusing to fulfill the implicit promise in his teasing. Ordinarily, Issei thought very little of girls who pulled that sort of thing, but he was willing to do a lot of things he looked down on if it meant he could truly be with Jinpachi in the end. They had to get Jinpachi to a point
where he was comfortable being with Issei as a male, or this was only going to end in frustration and heartbreak for both of them. And this was the only way Issei could think of to do it. When Jinpachi's hand slid up from his waist towards his bra, Issei caught it and gently, but firmly, guided it back down to the middle region again. "Uh-uh, nothing that isn't the same on boys and girls," he murmured in explanation to Jinpachi's disappointed noise.
"I thought you wouldn't want me to forget that you weren't a girl,"
Jinpachi whispered back in confusion. Issei shook his head. "I don't, but I also don't want you to end up shocking yourself out of enjoying this too early," he replied. "We'll work up to it. Don't worry." He went back to distracting the other boy by kissing him, increasing the link between them so Jinpachi could feel how much he too ached to have the redhead run his hands all over Issei's body. Jinpachi groaned and moved to pull him into his lap. But at that moment, the house lights went down again, and there was a rustle from the stage and the orchestra pit. Smiling in the way of any girl who knows she's been teasing her guy almost past endurance, Issei pulled away and sat primly in his chair, the only contact between them now, their linked hands. Sighing, Jinpachi sat back to be bored for another hour. But the first wash of emotion shocked him into sitting upright again. At Issei's soft laugh, he glanced over, clearly confused. "I haven't closed the link," Issei whispered to him. "You're getting what I am, a bit deluded. I want you to see why I love the music so much, and what other people see in it. And," he added with another laugh, "I want you to stay awake." With that, Issei turned his attention back to the stage and lost himself in the music once again. He could feel Jinpachi right there with him this time, and everything that came back to him through their link was tinged with a sense of awe and wonder. It was clear that Jinpachi had never before understood why people could be so fascinated with music, and Issei was pleased to be able to give him such an amazing experience in return for the wonderful night. Especially considering what he was planning to ask of the other boy at the end of the night. When the music was over, while the wash of overwhelming emotions was still on them from the finale, Issei turned and once again kissed Jinpachi fiercely. Now equally high on the magic of music, Jinpachi kissed him back, and Issei could feel what an effort it was for the redhead to keep his hands where he'd been told to. Shamelessly, he ran his own hands over Jinpachi's chest, sliding the tips of his fingers through the spaces between the buttons on his shirt to brush against bare skin. Each fleeting touch inflamed them both, the link between them acting almost as a feedback loop. When Issei finally pulled away, they were both gasping with pure need. "I want you to promise me something," he asked softly, leaning his forehead against Jinpachi's and wrapping his arms around the redhead's neck. He realized, somewhat to his embarrassment, that at some point he'd ended up straddling Jinpachi's lap with his skirt hiked up to his thighs and Jinpachi's hands on his ass. Clearing his throat, he shifted back a bit before Jinpachi could consciously realize what the bulge pressing against him was. "Anything," Jinpachi promised recklessly, lost in the whirlwind of emotions Issei had deliberately raised between them. "I want you to promise that..." Issei flushed in embarrassment, but forced himself to continue. "That you won't masturbate at all."
What?
Shock broke part of the spell, and Jinpachi pulled back abruptly to stare at him in dismay.
"Issei, you can't be serious!"
Issei hushed him with a quick kiss. "This isn't something I'd normally ask of you, believe me," he said fervently. "I'm not one of those girls who thinks her boyfriend is cheating on her every time he does that. If you don't think you can, then I'll think of something else, but it's important."
"This has something to do with getting me to be able to accept you as a guy?"
Jinpachi asked, looking pained. Issei nodded, his expression serious, and the redhead sighed. It was a measure of how badly he wanted things to work between them when he reluctantly agreed.
I'll try. And damn it, you'll even be able to tell if I break down, won't you? He added in frustration. Stifling a laugh at his expression, Issei nodded.
Yes, I will, though I promise not to hold your dreams against you, he assured him.
I, of all people, know how impossible it is to control them.
Jinpachi just sighed again and released his ass to wrap strong arms around him and pull him close.
Jinpachi, Issei said softly, there is one other circumstance where you can break this promise.
The redhead looked up, eager for some way out of what was likely to prove a highly unpleasant situation, and Issei gave him a slightly wicked smile.
If you're looking at an image of a naked man at the time, I don't care if it's a magazine or a video or what, but that's the rule.
For a moment, Jinpachi looked thoroughly confused, then understanding dawned.
You're hoping I'll learn to associate the male body with sex and release.
Damn it, I should have listened to my friends. They told me I was crazy to date a psychology major.
Laughing again, Issei kissed him again.
Will you try? For me? For us?
Resigned, Jinpachi kissed him back.
For us, yes. But this damn well better work, or it just might kill me.